Today we're talking about think the thoughts of God. What does it mean to think the thoughts of God? We know this, that everything that God thinks is written in His Word. Isn't that right? What we think is revealed in our thoughts and our actions. And I've been saying this for all of these weeks now, the thoughts that rule your mind will control your life. So how many know this, that we can speak the Word, we can act out the Word or do Christian type things, but our thinking must be right so that our believing is right so that our lives will be right. Amen? Let's go back to our text verse in Proverbs 23 verse 7. It says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." Let me say that again. "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." That's the basis, the thrust of what we've been saying to you for these weeks. Looking right down at the God's Word translation, it says, "As he calculates the cost to himself, this is what he does. He tells you, eat and drink, but he really doesn't mean it." So once again, we have been dealing with a person saying one thing with their mouth, but meaning something else with their heart or with their thoughts. In our society today, we hear a lot about honoring God. People talk about honoring God, and they talk about it very religiously, probably not very sincerely at all times. But how many know it's important to honor God? There's many ways we can honor God. We honor God with our lives, first of all. Our lives are not our own. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians says that we were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirits, which are God's. But before that, he says that our lives are not our own. We don't belong to ourselves. How many know the downfall of Christianity is this, that people treat their lives like their life is their own? But our lives belong to God. Amen. What if tomorrow morning you woke up and the first thing out of your mouth besides "Good morning, Lord," was, "God, what assignment do you have for me today? I know I'm going to work. I know I've got all this routine stuff that I do every day. But what assignment in the midst of all of this do you have for me today? God, I choose to be sensitive to the leading of your Spirit." So we hear a lot about honoring God. Yet honoring God is more than just saying words and performing certain actions. It's important that we honor God with our thoughts as well. Now last time, if you remember last week, we talked about Lucifer, how he tried to exalt himself above God by thinking thoughts that were not submitted to God. Have you ever thought about that? Let me just say it this way. Maybe you've had trouble with thoughts, certain thoughts. And if you have, here's the one thing you shouldn't do. Number one, don't beat yourself up. Number two, pray and submit your thoughts to God. God, I want to honor you even with my thoughts, so I submit my thoughts to you. Paul said this in Romans 12, verse 3. I know we talked about it last time, but he said, "For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Now, I'd love to go on and talk about the measure of faith, but today we're dealing with not thinking highly or less than what God thinks about us. The word soberly, once again, in a more condensed form, means to be of sound mind. How many know it's important that we are of sound mind? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever lost control? I've heard people say, you know, "I'm about to lose my mind." Well, don't do that. I've heard people say, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Folks, we better hang on to what we got. Amen. Not stop trying to give it away. But the truth is, it means to be of sound mind. It also means to be sane. How many know this, that we ought to act like sane people? How many know there is such a thing as insanity? And they say, people in the mental health system say this, I know this firsthand, that from sanity to insanity is a very fine line. And once you step over, it's hard to get back. How many know we don't have to step over to insanity? But I'm going to show you this morning some ways how Christians practice an act of insanity. Now, how many know if you found out that what you were doing was defined as an act of insanity, how many know we'd want to correct that right away? Isn't that right? Anybody enjoy being insane? Nobody? Nope, nobody here today? Then listen to me. We need to get into His Word and find out what He has to say. many people would say this, and I've heard this before, that it's wrong or it's irreverent, it's not reverent to think on the same wavelength as God or the same level of God because we're trying to exalt ourselves. But no, we're not trying to exalt ourselves. We're just trying to think like God thinks. I mean, no, that's in the Bible. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. There's a man I met many years ago, probably 25 years ago, and maybe longer than that, who used to pastor in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and way back when was one of the three right-hand men for A.A. Allen. He's now in Texas. Pastor Don Clowers travels all over the world, preaches, and he said this. He said, thoughts are real things. They can help you or they can hinder. How many know that's true? You can get stirred up about something and your thoughts can just be raging and they can hinder God's productivity in your life. He also said, choose good and positive thoughts instead of what happens to come along. Know this, that thoughts will happen to come along. Someone said one time, Someone said one time, using my own words, I had an X-rated thought and said, now that's burned in my mind forever. That's not true. That's not true. Because thoughts come and thoughts go. Whether they stay or not is up to you and I. Amen. So our thoughts really do need to honor God. To conclude this series, let's talk for a few minutes about how and what God thinks about you. Because I really want to tell you today, I am thankful for the grace of God. I don't preach a message of grace all the time, but I believe my teaching is laced with grace. And the truth is, God thinks some very important things about us. Let's go, even if we touched on this before, let's go to Jeremiah 29, verse 11, and we'll read three translations, starting with the NIV. God says, for I know the plans I have for you. Somebody at that time saying, well, I wish you'd let me in on it, God. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God plans for you to prosper. God plans for you not to be harmed. And if you're going to be harmed, it's not going to come from God. He has plans to give you hope and a future. How many have a hope about your future today? The New Century Version says, I say this because I know what I am planning for you, says the Lord. I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. I will give you hope and a good future. How many know since that time in Jeremiah, Jesus has come and we have hope and we have a good future for us? The Young's literal translation is said to be the closest to the original manuscripts. It says, for I have known the thoughts that I am thinking towards you. Of an affirmation of Jehovah. Thoughts of peace and not evil. To give you posterity, it means to prosper you, and hope. So everyone must come to understand that God knew your thoughts in the past. I've talked to people that said, Pastor, you don't understand. In my past, I've had some really bad thoughts. Well, they're also telling me that I've done some really bad things. Well, God knows the thoughts that you've had in the past. Therefore, you have nothing to try and hide from God. He knows it all. Amen. I used to think about, you know, what's the point in trying to be deceptive? God knows about everything anyway. What's the point in trying to not tell the truth? God knows anyway. What's the point in trying to hide? Because God knows where we are. Do you remember when Adam was in the garden? The Bible said he was hiding among the trees of the garden. Why? Because they had sin. So sin caused them to want to go and hide. Bad thoughts will cause us sometimes to want to go and hide. But you know what? God said, where are you, Adam? Do you know that God knew where Adam was? Why did God say, where are you, Adam? So that Adam could come out from the... I almost said come out of the closet. That might fit too. Adam to come out from hiding and say, here I am, God. I did it. How many know we need to confess to God and submit our thoughts to Him so that our thoughts can honor Him. God knows the thoughts that we're having at this very moment. Therefore, we can be open and honest with Him. Why? Because, again, He knows all. But here's the other part of the thing, is God knows all about your future. You know, we try as parents to direct our children in a good path that will lead them to a good future. And we try at the same time to direct our lives in a good path so that the end result is a good future. But even more importantly than that, God already has a plan for our future, praise the Lord. And we can trust Him to bring it to pass if we follow His plan. Now, I know folks that are sitting down right now, and again, if you're hearing this by CD or on our website, anywhere in the world, you may be sitting there thinking, you know what, I'm just going to sit here. God has my plan all figured out. I'm just going to sit here and wait. No, the truth is, we need to be submitted to God's plan. Do you know that God's plan is revealed in His Word? Amen. And so He tells us to be a doer of the Word. He says, whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. And so we're to serve Him with every breath that we have. In God's plan, He already has a good plan for your future. Here's what I do know about the plan of God. His plan is better than your plan. Would you agree with that? Amen. God's plan. The thing tomorrow that you don't know how to do, God's already got worked out. And so, wouldn't it make sense to spend time with God every morning, whether that's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, or an hour, spend time with God and say, God, I don't know about today, but I do know that You have it all figured out. What do You want me to do? Do you remember that old song that said, I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand? God holds your hand. If He's holding your hand today and you're at peace and feeling comfortable with that idea, then know this, He'll hold your hand tomorrow. Praise the Lord. One reason Christians are not advancing or moving forward in life, and this may be something that'll fit your life, this may be something you want to share with somebody, is because of thinking the opposite as God thinks, yet at the same time still expecting God to perform His Word. How many know that we can't be thinking the opposite of God and expect the Word of God to come to pass in our lives? How many know that if the Word of God says we're healed by the stripes of Jesus, but all we think about is how sick we are, how defeated we are, how discouraged and depressed we are, and giving into that, we are thinking and acting in the opposite direction of God's will? How many know that our thoughts have to come in line to His will and His plan? Well, I looked this up. I actually Googled this. Thank God for Google. It's not in the Bible, but I'm sure God had it planned. Albert Einstein said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. We cannot keep thinking differently than God thinks, only to be disappointed when the Bible doesn't come to pass in our lives. How many know there's Christians, millions of Christians, somewhere in the world today, someone's hearing this, or will be hearing this, millions of Christians who are disappointed because the Bible is not coming to pass in their life. I get letters all the time. I get emails all the time. Why isn't the Word of God working? I trust God, I believe God, but it isn't working. When we come to that place of wondering, why isn't it working, we've already begun to question God when God's already said in His Word what His will is. Philippians 2, verse 5 and 6. We touched on this last week, but let me finish this up and then we'll go to Jeremiah again. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, we're not reading the previous scriptures to know what he was thinking or what our minds ought to be, but we want to look at verse 6 particularly today. It said, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. In the original, this word consider actually is translated thought or think. So Jesus did not think it robbery to be equal with God or to be on the same wavelength with God. How many know we're sons of God, we're heirs of God, and we're joint heirs with Christ? Again, joint means equal. And Jesus said he's not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters. Praise the Lord. We're no longer servants. I know we call ministers the servants of God, but we're no longer servants, although we serve. We are the sons and the daughters of God. Praise the Lord. Dr. Buddy Bell said, change the direction of your life by changing the direction of your thoughts. Change your thoughts, your direction changes. We start doing things differently. The bottom line is this, exactly where are your thoughts taking you? We don't see each other day to day. And the truth is, I don't know everything that goes on in your life. You don't know everything that goes on in my life. But I do know this, the way to maintain the straight and narrow is by keeping our thoughts right, so that, and that's the biggest place we have a battle. That's the battlefield of the enemy, is in our thought life. Jeremiah 1:5 reveals some more of God's plan for us. He says, "For I formed you in the womb. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Think about that for a moment. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So, how many know this, that before God formed you in the womb, He knew you, so God had to know you before you were in your mother's womb. And we talked about that, and I can't go into that this morning. But the reality is this, I know that, He goes on to say, "Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Now, my calling may not be a prophet. Your calling may not be a prophet. And I know this is talking about Jeremiah specifically, but it also is a typology of how God feels about you. You and I, before we were in the womb, God sanctified us. God ordained us. God called us. God knew us. We have a long relationship with God as spirit beings, but we just didn't know about it. These are God's thoughts. It's important to know that the calling and gifting of God was in you, already in you before your natural birth, but it was revealed after your spiritual birth. How many know we didn't know our gifts and callings? How many know sometimes that there are sinners who never knew Jesus are very talented people? Amen? And thank God for talents and giftings. And there are many people who actually live the lives of heathens who will say publicly, "I know my gift came from God." How many know if a gift came from God, we ought to use it for God? Isn't that right? Our words can't be about the honky-tonk blues or wife swapping or cheating. Your cheating heart will tell on you. While that's true, how many know our words, our voices, our songs, our music ought to glorify God? Now, I love all kinds of music, not every kind of music, but just about. And the truth is, all talent and all music came from God. God is the originator of the whole deal. Somewhere in the process, perversion took place and the enemy corrupted some things. That's no excuse for us not staying on the straight and narrow. Sometimes people feel like it's taken a lifetime to discover their gifts. But I want to tell you that your gifts are inside you. And I want to just encourage people this, and you may want to take this message to someone. Encourage people to find a church that they can hook up with and find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching pastor who will teach them how to think like God thinks. You know, when I do counseling, doesn't happen often, but when I do counseling, and I've had seasons where I counseled every day, but when I do counseling, the first place I start is trying to get people to quit thinking negative thoughts and start thinking like God. Let's finish up today with 1 John 4, verse 17. I know we've looked at this before, but let's look at it one more time. It says, His love, I know it doesn't say His in the Bible, but that's what it's talking about. His love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Do you know that's a mouthful right there? As He is, so are we in this world. Think about Jesus. How many of you in this room, be honest with me, have read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Have read any of the Gospels, heard any of the Gospel stories, heard what Jesus did? All the miracles He did, how He went and dealt with people, dealt with religion. And the Bible says, as He is, so are we in this world. As He is right now, the Son of God, who reigns in authority, who reigns in power, as He is, so are we right now. You know what keeps people in our world out there from receiving Jesus and receiving miracles? One of us going out there and start finding opportunities to pray for the sick. One of us finding opportunities to go out there and share Jesus with someone. People are tired of church. They're tired of religion. They want something real. They want the truth about Jesus. Amen. They're tired of it being watered down and the truth not being told. So if you and I don't think like Jesus, then we'll never become like Jesus. By changing how we think, we'll determine failure or success. You know, successful people actually think successful. They see the end result, even though they don't have it. And they do something to keep that vision before them. Do you know one of the things that keeps us going as Christians is we have a written vision, a written working order right here before us, and we do what the Bible says. So thinking God's thoughts can literally adjust our belief systems so that we can have a brighter outcome in our life. As He is, so are we in this world. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7, as we think in our heart, so are we. What do you think about yourself? Maybe this morning there's just one person here that you think, I'm really not worthy. I'm really not good enough. I just don't think I can do it. I don't think I can do anything for God. You may feel this way, and I know this is probably the majority of us, including me, the majority of us in this room. We've been told, no, you can't do that. We've been shut down, put down, and in some ways have just given up. What's the use? If the church won't accept me, can I tell you this? I will preach, and if the cat don't like it, let the cat turn around. I mean, I just really feel that way about me and Jesus. Amen? And I'm not going to compromise. See, I know about carrying my Bible to the break room. I know about praying over my meal when everybody else in the room didn't pray. I know what it means to pray in a restaurant and somebody to come and say, I appreciate the fact that you pray. You know what I do when I see people pray? I go to their table and commend them for praying. I appreciate people that still are not ashamed to pray and glorify God. What you think and believe will change what you've been speaking. If you keep doing the same thing that's not working, but you're expecting the same result, a positive result, then how many know we've got to change what we've been doing, what we've been thinking, what we've been saying? I would encourage you this morning, as I finalize this series of teachings on Think the Thoughts of God, I would encourage you to read your Bible. You say, I don't read that much. Then read a little. Can I tell you something? And I don't feel bad that this is on CD, but I want to tell you a story. When I was in high school, I don't remember grade school too much, but when I was in high school, did you know that your pastor was a straight D student? And the only reason I wasn't an F student and flunked out is because I was in sports and my coach saw to it that I didn't get below a D. Now that's not really fair. But the truth is, I just wasn't good at reading. Can I tell you how I learned to read and write and how I learned punctuation? I read my Bible. I don't like to read. As a rule, I've got stacks of books that I've read and I've got stacks of books that I haven't got to yet. I've got things that I want to read and go back over in the Bible that I haven't done yet. But that's how I learned to read. I learned English from God. I learned punctuation from God. You say, but I'm just not that good at it. You don't understand. Neither was I. But I made an effort. I just got into the book. And you know what happened? It was as though the book came alive and jumped out in me. And things changed. And now I don't mind reading. Give me a good book and I'll read it till it's done. I want to encourage you to read your Bible. Read a little bit and then meditate. Think about what you just read. It will empower you to think like God thinks. I think this is one of the greatest words for our hour. I know there's messages about the end time, message about the Antichrist, messages about the last days. But the reality is this. Our thinking must be in line with God's word so that our believing is right and our lives will be right. Right believing produces right living. How many know there are people that think if I just live right, then everything else will get right for me? No, we've got to believe right so that our living becomes right. Amen? Did you get anything out of this message? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.